Well, good morning. Morning to our, welcome to our morning service. Lovely to have you here. A welcome as well to those of you joining online. Great to have you with us. Just a few announcements for this morning. We have a fellowship lunch after the service. So if you'd like to stay behind for some really good food, you're very welcome to do it. Thanks to all those of you who have signed up. It just helps knowing rough numbers. But if you haven't signed up because you haven't been able to and you'd like to come along, you're very welcome. So after the service, we'll go through into the main hall and there's usually a bit of a banquet put on. So do feel free to join us for that if you'd like to. It'd be great to have you there. Just say about tonight's service as well. So tonight we're looking at the theme of unanswered prayer, or at least what we might believe is unanswered prayer. And I think that might be something that's really helpful for a lot of us. So John, our pastor, will be speaking on that this evening at 6:30. And then next Sunday, we've got our harvest service, all-age harvest service. 10 youth, two reasons. One is so that you can invite people. We've got these invites out there, or it's on social media as well. If you want it as a photo, you can share in WhatsApp, let us know. But also, as a reminder, it is 10:30 next Sunday. So if you turn up at 11:15, we'll be three quarters of the way, roughly, through the service. So you'll miss a good chunk of it. So just to encourage you, come along at 10:30, invite friends along. It'd be great to see lots of people there. And also, as well as bringing friends, I encourage you to bring food, and we can then give that to the food bank, the Crowborough Food Bank. So don't forget that, 10:30, harvest service next Sunday morning, God willing. Well, as we start our service this morning, let's pray to God and ask him to help us. Lord God, I pray that you'd be with us this morning. Lord, thank you that we can gather like this. And I pray that you'd be with us. Lord, with a group of this size, Lord, we know that we're coming together with all sorts of different circumstances going on in our lives, all sorts of different situations. Lord, maybe for some of us things are good. Things are pretty smooth, Lord, so much to be thankful for. And I pray that we would be grateful for that. Lord, I pray that we would count our blessings and that we would praise you for those good things that you give us. But Lord, also there may be many who are feeling the weight of life or the stress of so many things to think about and do. Or maybe just the sadness of circumstances. And Lord, I pray that you'd be with them. Lord, I pray that you'd bless them. Lord, I pray that you'd help them this morning, that we'd know your presence with us, and that we'd be able to take in your word. Lord, as we're being fed, as it were, Lord, I pray that we'd be able to take in that spiritual food. Lord, help us to really listen. Help us to worship. Lord, I pray that we'd have that sense that it is about you this morning. Lord, I pray that you would get the glory. Help us to praise you. Help us to worship you. Help us to submit to what you're saying, O Lord. So Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to sing our first song now that is all about giving God the glory. To God be the glory, great things he has done. So let's stand and sing together.
Bye.
Well, in just a moment, we're going to have the Bible readings that John will be explaining to us a bit later. But just to say that after those readings, Luke's going to do the children's talk. So the children's talk will be before the second song, so just to make you aware of that. So we're going to read from the Bible, and we're going to read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 22. So it'll be up on the screen if you want to read it there. Ephesians 2, verses 11 to 22. If you've been here, you'll remember that we're going through the book or the letter of Ephesians that the Apostle Paul wrote to the New Testament churches and Christians in Ephesus. And last week, when John was introducing the first 10 verses of this chapter, he said that this is the number one passage in the Bible on grace. So that was last week, the number one passage in the Bible on grace. And this reading starts with, therefore. So what does Paul say after all that he's been saying about grace? What does he then go on to say? Well, let's read it together. So Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 22. Therefore, remember that at one time, you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of his hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Holy Spirit. And then just a short reading that links to that. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Some of my favourite verses. So 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10. This is what we read. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Well, looking forward to John, our pastor, explaining what that means to us and applying it to our lives a little bit later. But for now, Luke is going to come up and do the children's talk. So children, if you'd like to come to the front.
Come on down. Well, Mark was just talking about his favourite Bible verses that we just read there in 2 Peter. Now, one of my favourite Bible verses, if not my very favourite Bible verse, was spoken about John last week. So that was in which book of the Bible? Can you remember which book of the Bible we're looking at in Sunday mornings in the services? The reading should have just given you a bit of a clue. Can you remember? It begins with E. Ephesians, yeah, Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And my favourite verse was in last week's service, which is Ephesians 2 and verses 8 and 9. Now, does anyone want to give a big loud voice and give that a read? Harvey, are you up for that? Yeah, thank you very much. Well read. Yeah, so we have been saved by grace. And I thought, well, I reckon we can try and illustrate this, okay? So bear with me. So what we're going to do is to explain this Bible verse. There's lots of words in there and some quite big words and words we're not sure about. So I'm going to represent our hearts with this cocktail glass, okay? So in our hearts, God gives us all a heart, and that's who we are. That's where we, all the things that are important to us are held. But what happens in our lives, what can sometimes, or not sometimes, what happens to all of us, what does our heart get full of?
Evilness.
Yeah, and there's a really short, tiny word. That's, you're absolutely right, Al. There's another little word, isn't there?
Bad.
Yeah, that is another word for it. Yeah, and there's another three-letter word called... sin as well. Yeah, these are bad, evil things, aren't they? And I'm going to represent the bad things in our lives and that go into our heart with this dirt. Okay, so I'm going to put some dirt in our hearts, because that's all the things that we do wrong. It's when we're mean to people, maybe we're disobedient, maybe we say bad words and we're unkind. Yeah, all those things that sometimes we don't even mean to do, but we do it anyway, because that's our sinful nature. So we do. So we've got a heart there, and it's full of dirt. And what this Bible verse is saying is that you can't do anything about that. You can do good things. I'm going to represent good things by sugar, because sugar's nice, isn't it? Sugar makes cereal better, and just makes everything taste better. So we're going to do some good works. So what might a good thing that we could do be? Definitely, yeah. Help someone up when they've fallen over. Yeah, what else would we do?
Church.
Go to church. That's a good thing, isn't it? Yeah, well done. Yeah, anything else? What other good things can we do? Yeah, love people and take care of people. Yeah, we can do lots of nice things, can't we? Go and visit people who are sick. Yeah. Yeah, be obedient. That's a good thing to do, isn't it? So when we're obedient to our parents, we do a good thing. We put that into our heart, and maybe we go to church, and then we do helping people when they fall over. This is our heart. So we've got these good things in our heart now, but as they go into our heart, what's happening to the sugar? Can you see? Sorry, this is just disappearing, isn't it? It goes into our heart, and can you still see? All the dirt, which is our sin, isn't it? So we do these good things, but they're not going to make that sin go away. And so that's when it says up there, you can't brag that you're saved by the work that you've done. Oh, sorry, I'm distracting you. That way. Yeah. So you're not saved by the works that you've done, so the good things, because look, the heart is still dirty. So instead, we're saved by God's grace. So God's grace is a gift. God gifts us a new heart. And it's completely clear, and all that dirt is gone, and we have a new heart. And then if we do good things, it's to show that we love God. And these things come about because God saved us, and we can forgive people, and we can be kind to people, and do good things. And you can see our heart is then full of good things. And that's because God has blessed us with a new heart. So we're not saved because if we do good things and we've got a sinful heart, it doesn't make any difference. We need that heart completely gone. And for God's grace, his gift, to give us a new heart. And then we'll do nice things because we love God and we show him when we do that, because we're thankful to him that he saved our life. So that's what we need to pray, is that God will take away our old heart. So because we're not saved on our own, we're saved because God gives us a new heart. So we can do all the good things we want to. We can go to church every Sunday. We can go to all the Sunday schools, the Thrive, and we can go to do kind things. We can help out people who are poorly and people who need a hand. But that won't save us unless this heart of sin has gone. And the only way the heart of sin goes by God gifting us a new heart. Let me say a short prayer and then we can go back to our seats. Father, thank you so much that by your grace we can be saved. And so I pray for everyone here this morning that if we haven't known your grace already, that we will know it today, that you'll take away our sinful heart and give us a new heart, and that we might spend our life doing good things for you. And we, Lord, we, even though we try really hard to do good things, we pray that more importantly than that, you'll take away our sinful heart, and that by your grace, we will enjoy a new life in Jesus Christ with a new heart. So help us, Lord, then, to remember that and give us a new heart, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well done. Thanks for listening. You can go back to your seats.
Thanks, Luke. Well, as some of you will have seen on the bulletin, if you get the bulletin, we're particularly thinking of Christine Bird's family at the moment, as she sadly passed away this last Thursday. So we'll be very much remembering them in our prayers. She wasn't able to join here for a long time, but she was able to watch the services online. It's one of the real blessings of being able to live stream our services. Just to let you know that the provisional date for the funeral is Thursday the 10th of October in the afternoon. So Thursday the 10th of October in the afternoon, that's the provisional date for the funeral. Well, it's a sad time, but it's not a time without hope. And what we're going to do is we're going to sing a song now that reminds us of the Christian hope that we have, that reminds us to lift our eyes beyond the grave, because that is the Christian hope. So in a moment, we're going to sing. And then after that, Dave is going to come up and do an announcement for us about First Tuesday. But let's sing now and remind ourselves of the hope we have as Christians.
I expect you've all heard of First Tuesday, but I guess there are some of you that probably don't know quite what happens. So, First Tuesday. It's part of the ministry, the outreach of our church, where we can invite many from the surrounding area to come and have lunch with us. And we do a hot lunch every month for our older friends, and we serve over 65 meals most months. We have an interesting activity, and of course, we bring a message of the good news of God from the gospel, the gospel message to the folk. So it's very popular, and then many of them have become our friends. And currently, we've got a waiting list. So if you want to come, you'll have to wait, I'm sorry. But that's not what I'm talking to you about today, because we have a bit of a problem. Many of us that help are getting a bit old and cronky. We can't do what we used to do, and so we need some more help. And it would be such a shame if we couldn't carry on doing this because we just couldn't manage with the work. So we're looking for volunteers, basically, for cooking, for serving, even for clearing up. If you're good at washing up, that would be quite useful. Ladies and men, it doesn't have to all be ladies. We have one or two men already, but men as well. And it's for one or two or 3 hours. You don't have to come the whole time. Up to you. But we do want you to be consistent so that we know who's coming when and we can schedule it all in. So, can you help us? Please help us in this ministry of the church, bringing the good news of Jesus to many of the folk that come. And we hope if you'd like to see us and talk with us, we'd be very pleased if you could help. So thank you, especially if you're not old and cronky with bad hips and knees. Thank you. Many thanks also to the young people, all you youngsters up there. You help greatly appreciated, sorting all the tables and things out. But don't forget, it's tonight. Thanks very much.
Well, I've had the privilege of going to First Tuesday a few times, not because I'm quite old enough, but it's a brilliant event. It really is. They do a cracking job, and really encourage you to serve in that way if you can, because it'd be great for them to be able to continue that. And people absolutely love coming along. So we're very thankful for that. Well, we're going to pray, so let's bow our heads and pray together to the Lord. Lord God, we praise you this morning. Lord, we must decrease and you must increase. And Lord, forgive us for when we are so important in our own lives and for when you are so small in our eyes. Forgive us for when we are so fixated on this life and just everything about us. And we take our eyes off eternity and we take our eyes off the bigger picture and the things that you are doing throughout time. Lord, if we are Christians this morning, if we are followers of Jesus, then the Bible tells us that we are citizens of your kingdom above. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to keep our minds on things above, not just on things here on earth, not just things below. Lord, we know that there are things in this life that demand our attention. There's all sorts of things that we have to deal with, to focus on, to help with, all sorts of things. But Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would always do those things with the perspective of eternity in mind. Lord, that if we are followers of Jesus, we're described as being travellers in this world. This is sort of passing through. This isn't our eternal home. And Lord, I pray that we would have that mindset. Look, Lord, I pray that we would be spiritually concerned about things. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to care about being more like Jesus and being his ambassadors to the world around us. Lord, help us to do that. Help us to do that well. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to want to do that, to want to be more like Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you give us your spirit to empower us. Lord, we know that we cannot do these things by ourselves. Lord, we fail so miserably, but Lord, through the power of your spirit, we can be like you. We can live godly lives. And so, Lord, I pray that you would fill us with your spirit, that you'd help us to trust in him, that you'd help us to pray to him, ask him for his power, and that with his help, with his empowerment, Lord, that we would live lives that please you. Lord, we thank you as we're singing in the children's talk that we can have our hearts washed clean. Lord, we're given new hearts. And Lord, I pray that because of that, Lord, that we would long to live for you. Lord, some of us were thinking in Rooted this morning of how we are in Jesus if we follow him and therefore we've been forgiven. And the curse of sin is no longer, it no longer has power over us. And so that should transform how we live. And Lord, I pray that we'd be people who are determined to live in the light of what you've done for us. And that we would live transformed lives that are different to the world around us. And that reflect Jesus. Oh Lord, forgive us for when we fail in this. Help us to care more about when we fail. And help us to live for you. Lord, I pray. Lord, we see in your word that the world is groaning like it's in childbirth. And Lord, we've seen that this week with the floods. Lord, we've seen floods in our own country. But Lord, we've also seen floods around the world. We've seen it with the hurricane in America. We've also seen horrendous floods in places like Nepal. And Lord, all around the world, just these things which just remind us that the world is broken. And Lord, that's what people are saying. The world is broken. And Lord, we are so thankful, Lord, that this world isn't all there is. Lord, we thank you that you promise a new creation, a new earth. Lord, I pray that we would be good stewards of this world. Lord, that we would do what we can to care for it. Lord, that's what we were told to do right at the beginning of time, to care for this world. Lord, help us to do that. But Lord, we thank you that one day, Lord, you will remake all things. Lord, you will make all things new. And Lord, that is exciting. And I pray that you'd help us to live with that in mind. Lord, where there will be peace, where you will reign, where there will be shalom over all the world. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we pray for Martin Hook this morning as he's at Swaleside prison with Stephen St. John. Lord, we thank you for their efforts. We thank you for their passion for the gospel, for the effort that they put in week by week to go and share the good news of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for their love for you. But we thank you especially for the message that they're taking. Lord, the gospel that changes us, as we were thinking last week, from being dead in sin and from being under the power of the prince of the power of the air. Lord, this is the message that can make us alive in Jesus, where we are loved immeasurably by God. Lord, I thank you that is the gospel that they're taking into that prison. And that is the gospel that we're looking at this morning. And I pray that it would do us good as we think about these things. Lord, we thank you for grace. We thank you that you are rich in mercy and for your great love. And Lord, I pray that we would love it more. I pray that we would celebrate it. I pray that we would rejoice in it. Lord, we've been singing about rejoicing. Lord, I pray that that would be our heart attitude as we go into the week ahead, that it would be one of rejoicing and that it would shape our life. Lord, I do bring before you at this time, especially Christine Bird's family. Lord, we bring them before you in their sadness. Lord, you know she's been weak for so long. And we thank you that we can trust that she is now safely in your presence. Lord, as we sang, Lord, safely in your arms for eternity. Lord, we thank you that we have a very real hope. We praise you for that. But Lord, there is always sadness in these times. And so Lord, we pray that you would comfort them and bless them. And Lord, as they plan the funeral, Lord, I pray that those plans would go smoothly and well. And that that would be a time of real thanksgiving as well as sadness. Lord, do bless them at this time, we pray. Lord, we bring First Tuesday before you as well. Lord, we thank you for what we've just heard and for the amazing blessing it is for those older people who come along from the community and who love it so much, who are so loved when they're there that often they keep talking about it. For the amazing food that's cooked for them month by month and for the way people just serve them so lovingly. Lord, if we can serve, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to step up and serve you. Lord, we thank you that you were the ultimate servant. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to serve if we can in this wonderful way where we can show love and we can share the message of Jesus with people. So, Lord, do bless that work, I pray. Continue to bless it and may it do much eternal good. Lord, we pray for our harvest service as well next week. We bring that before you. Lord, I pray that we get a good number of people along. Help us to invite people. And I pray that as we celebrate and give thanks again for your goodness, Lord, that our hearts be full. And as we think about your generosity to us, Lord, I pray that that would impact us, that we too may be generous to those around us. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us now. Lord, as in a moment, Lord, John comes up and explains to us that amazing passage that we read. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to understand it. I pray that you'd help us understand how it applies to our life. And that you give us the right attitude to it as well. That we would be so keen to just drink it in. And to obey what you're saying to us. And to listen. Oh Lord, bless us, I pray. Speak to us. And help John as he speaks, I pray. In your name. Amen. Well, just before John comes up, we're going to sing a song. It's a real celebration song, really. Reconciled, unreconciled. It's a song that celebrates what Jesus has done for us. But if you can't sing this for yourself, maybe you can pray this for yourself. So let's stand and sing together.
Relationships Relationships are crucial to life, aren't they? They make a big difference to life, for good or for bad. Probably have done this week for you. They're a source of great joys and sorrows, problems, heartaches, needs. We were made for relationships, and relationships are very important to all of our lives. And in our passage this morning, we have lots of relationship words. I don't know what thoughts they conjure up in your minds, but there are some negative words. Think of these: separated. It makes you think of a couple, parent and child, separated. Strangers. Social situation that you don't feel you belong, not part of. Foreign. Hostility is in the passage. Frostiness. Arguments. Fights, war, the Middle East. Far off was in the passage. Distant, no communication. Emptiness, longing for closeness. It's quite significant words, aren't they, that we came up with in this passage. Sad ones, painful ones. And there were some welcome ones as well, some positive ones, if you like, some pleasing words in the passage. There was this word several times, peace. What does that make you think of? Being one. Brought near. Together. A sense of belonging, a sense of feeling at home, of being included, it's just so important to us, isn't it? Especially some of us, but to all of us to a large extent. And that's what this passage addresses. And there's been a big change for these Ephesians. We looked at that last week. Do you remember it was then and now, if you were here? But it's then and now in the earlier part of the chapter, and we thought of an old photo of you in the past and a fresh photo now, and of the difference it made. Well, there's similarly in the second half in terms of a then and now, but it's done in terms of relationships. It's done in terms of relationships. It's a change that's happened. So verse 11, at one time. Verse 13, but now. Verse 19, no longer. You see, there's a change. And perhaps if we can bring the photo idea in again, imagine a photo of yourself on your own. A bit lost, a bit bewildered, a bit solitary, a bit sad. And then another photo of you, and it's a team photo, and there's all smiles, and you're together. And there's a sort of change in a sense of relationship from then to now. Or an orphan on their own. And then an orphan now, part of a family in a family photo. Or the child that I've picked out on the photo there, who feels distant from the group. But then playing and part of the friendship group on the photo. And that's the sort of change you have in these verses. You may have found some of the verses quite hard. They're a bit involved if you don't know the background. But that's really what's happening. It's relationships, a change from then to now. And I think we're going to find it very significant, very encouraging for ourselves. And it's done really in two ways. Two sorts of relationship, if you like, which have changed, and they're intermingled, I think, in these verses. So we're going to take them. And the first is their relationship with God. Their relationship with God. Sort of vertical, if you like. Well, verse 12 describes five things about these Ephesians in the past, the old photo. I imagine you relate more to the first than the last two. You might find the middle two a bit confusing, but let me read them. Look at them if you've got them in front of you. Verse 12. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, not part of the nation of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Separated from Christ, without God, without hope. That's what they were like. Maybe that's what your situation is currently. It was a great song we sang, wasn't it? There is a hope. I wonder if you could sing that genuinely, because you've got faith. Having no hope, it's a sad position to be in. Do you go to bed at night with no hope? No real hope, no lasting hope. It's a sad position to be in. Are you without God and without Christ in this world? One commentator summarised these five as Christless, stateless, friendless, hopeless, godless. Have those words concern you? They remind you of what it was like for you, or perhaps like it's like for you now. They were far off, verse 13. They were a long way from God. They were distant from God. They were out in the cold. They were not in fellowship with God. In the Old Testament, you had a king and his son David and Absalom. Absalom did something very wrong and he ended up being away from his dad, from the king. He was away 3 years, living apart from him. They had nothing to do with each other. And maybe you feel like it's like that with you and God. You're a long way off. You feel distant. You don't know God. He's not your friend. In fact, there feels a sense of hostility. In fact, there is a sense of hostility because we have all rebelled against God, and God is just and pure and holy, and there is distance, naturally. There is a gap. A sense of rejection. And that's what it was like with them. These horrific terms that we're hearing about this morning. They were. But what about now? Take in some of these great phrases. These great words. I wonder which of these appeal to you as I read them. They're in the passage. Verse 13. Brought near. Brought near. Verse 16. Reconciled to God. Sang of it, didn't we? Reconciled to God. Reason for celebration, according to the song. No, I think I agree. I hope you do. Reconciled to God. Verse 14. They now have peace. For he himself is our peace. It occurs several times here. Verse 17. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. Verse 17, access to the Father. Not a long way off, not in the distance. The door is open. There's communication. It's restored relationship with you and God. Verse 19, part of God's household, a member of the family. Verse 22, in a way that's mind-boggling. God was living in them. You see, what a change there was in their relationship with God to what it was, and what wonderfully, beautifully, so attractively, so differently it is now. As relationship with the Almighty God is restored, as there is a sense of friendship and harmony and belonging and at-homeness, so that they can say they're right with God. tremendous change. How had it happened? How had it happened? What had brought that about? What had brought about reconciliation? What will make reconciliation for us, between us and God? Verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Verse 16. And might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. The cross has brought about a ceasefire. The cross has brought about harmony and closeness and restoration with God. Jesus on the cross takes away the guilt which others deserve. And he quells it, he deals with it. And he takes away the distance and the separation between us and God, so that if we trust in Jesus who died on the cross, and in faith we make him our Saviour and our leader, we are reconciled to God. We're made right. We're at home. We're friends again. Is that what you need? Is that what you need? You can be right with God through Jesus. You can be reconciled, restored, if you trust in the cross of Christ. If you have trusted, if he is your Saviour and leader, then this is your situation. You've been brought back, your friends, you're right, you can sing that hymn with gusto. Reconciled, I'm reconciled. So that's the first sort of now and then, or then and now, was away from God, they were, but now they're at peace with God. And I think that's the most important thing. That's the most important thing. But it's not the only thing. And I would say that it's not the thing that's most prominent in this passage, if you like. Especially as it carries on, the passage is more about our second line of thought this morning, which is relationships with others. Relationships with others. Sort of horizontal. Had the vertical before with God, now it's the horizontal. Now, that's not to say that becoming a Christian irons out every difficulty in relationships. You know, that's not the case. In fact, it can create some new problems. But becoming a Christian and being right with God does have a huge impact on our sense of belonging and our relationship with others. In this passage, it deals with a huge division that there was between people then and was very much felt. We perhaps don't enter into it so much. That may be why it confused you a little bit when you read it. But there was a huge division then between the Jews and the non-Jews or the Gentiles. And the non-Jews or the Gentiles were seen as outsiders. They didn't have the physical mark of circumcision. They weren't part of Israel. They weren't seen as being covered by the promises by the Jews, who were often looking down on them. They felt very much as outsiders. They felt as outsiders, hence our title, no longer outsiders. And it was even shown in the temple design of that age. The Jews were allowed in the main part of the temple, but then there were some steps down to a lower area and a wall. And the other side of the wall was the court of the Gentiles on the outside, where the non-Jews could go. And the wall between them and the others was 1.5 meters thick. and trespasses, a non-Jew, a Gentile, who went past it, was threatened not with prosecution, trespasses will be prosecuted, but trespasses will be executed. It's a no-go area. Outsiders, stay away. You Gentiles are not to mix with us, God's people, was the message that was felt. Felt very much like a them and us. And God seemed to be with them and not with us. And maybe you feel that in some way, some similarity. Not because you're not a Jew and you're looking as a Gentile on Jews. I guess most of us, if not all of us here, are non-Jews. We're Gentiles. But maybe you feel sort of outside of God's community. You think there seems to be a group of people here, or perhaps you go to another church or situation, a group of people, and they seem to have so much of a religious background to them, and they know their Bibles well, and they've met together for years, and it seems as though God is amongst them and blessing them, and I can never be part of them. I'm just an outsider. I'm on the edge. I'm not part of God's people. I can't be with them. It's quite a common problem, you know. Many more people feel it than you realise. It's not just you who feels that. And it can be linked with all sorts of past experiences and traits of our personality and sense of our inadequacies that are in our minds. And maybe you might find it especially helpful this morning, what we're looking at. You see, for this group of people, it had now changed. They were no longer in that position. There's a but now in verse 13. There's a no longer in verse 19. In verse 14, it puts it like this, and maybe you might understand this a bit more now. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. The wall of hostility which kept us apart has been broken down. It's collapsed. It's gone. The barrier is cleared. There's no need for them to feel a sense of outsider and insider. The way through is available to them horizontally to be part of God's people. Some of us here are perhaps old enough to remember the Berlin Wall. Yeah, the Berlin Wall. The Berlin Wall was a wall that went through the middle of Berlin in Germany. And it separated East and West Berlin. It separated East and West Germany. It was built in 1961. It was nearly 100 miles long. It varied roughly at about 4 meters high all the way round. And people were divided. Families were divided. It kept people apart. And then in the 9th of November, 1989... a night known as the night the wall came down, the wall had collapsed, the wall was broken. People were able to go through it. Families could meet up again. The barrier had gone. Perhaps some of you remember seeing it happen and the emotions linked with it. Well, in God's purposes, this wall was broken down. All the ceremonies which kept Jews and Gentiles apart were fulfilled in Christ. So the barrier was abolished, verse 15, by abolishing the law of the commandments expressed in the ordinance, he might create in himself one. And look what it meant for the Gentiles. Verse 14, made us both one. Verse 15. One new man making peace. Verse 16, one body. You see, there's a merging, there's a coming together, there's access for those who felt outside to now be very much part. The believing Gentiles were were in. They're not in the outer court anymore. Made me think of a few weeks ago, Esther and I ended up walking at Wimbledon Park. We've not been there before. And as on the edge of it, you go past the tennis courts, the Lawn Tennis Association Centre, where the tournament is each year. We'd never seen it before, so it was interesting to see. And it made me think of that this morning, because you can get in, can't you, if you queue long enough and you get a ticket. And our daughters have done that. And when they've done that, they've usually got a ground pass, which means you can go to the outer courts, which is fun and interesting. And you can see the smaller courts and what's happening. And I think you can probably go on Murray Mount or Henman Hill or whatever it's called as well with that pass. And they've done that. But sometimes later in the day, when all the bigwigs have been to centre court or court one or whatever, have had enough, and they come out, sometimes they hand on to the plebs, to the peasants, their own tickets. I think now Wimbledon are onto it and you have to pay a bit towards it, reduced price or something. But in the past, I think you were given it. Certainly one of our daughters were. So you ended up in with the others. You were where the real action was. You were on centre court. You were watching the stars. You were there with the atmosphere. You were there with the TV cameras. You were at the centre of things. Even though before you were just a ground pass outsider, you had access. You're included. And that's a wonderful picture here. The Gentiles, or those who feel as though, because of their background, they don't know much about God. And I think it's never going to be for me. I can never be part of them. And yet, through Christ, they're in the centre of things. They're part of the community. And if you've trusted Jesus, if he's your leader and saviour, your situation has now changed. You're part of God's people. Trusting in Christ just does deal with so many divisions in communities. It's just amazing what a coming together there is in the church, or there should be. It bridges divides. Divides of salary. Divides of class, if we look at it that way. Divides of educational background. Divides of colour. Divides of previous lifestyle. Things which separated them. And now in the church, those who trust in Christ are wonderfully merged together in one community. When I was away in America, in fact before, I had to read one of the books by one of the people who led a couple of the sessions there. It's called The Compelling Community. And I've read this once to some of you, but I want to read it again because it's so good. And he says this in it. He talks about his friend Bill Anderson, who used to teach at Harvard University about crowds. And then he carries on. But a career studying crowds did not prepare him for the local church. The diversity of the congregation impressed him. But beyond that, the genuineness of that diverse fellowship impressed him. In his words, it was striking. From the first moments I came through the door, it was clear to me that something special was going on. The relationship seemed not so much unnatural as highly uncommon. So I was introduced to the idea of a healthy church, a concept that had before eluded me. The power of this corporate witness provoked him. It undermined his conceptions of Christianity and began the process that would eventually lead to new life in Christ. Never seen anything before like it. Even though I studied crowds. And he comes to see what God has done in bringing people from all sorts of backgrounds into one lovely united community. Well, it's not always like that in church life. You may have seen things where it's not like that. But it often is. And it should be. You know, I've sometimes thought, and I don't think this is too naive, that really Ephesians 2, the second half, is the answer to the Middle East crisis. Ephesians 2, the second half, is the answer to the Middle East crisis. I read another quote which sort of was along these lines actually this week as well, which I just pass on. Talking about people from very different backgrounds, either side of the Middle East divide, and the way they come together in Christ. It's a commentary by Richard Cokin. Could our species ever stop fighting? Could there ever be lasting peace within our communities and between our cultures? Impossible as it sounds, the answer is yes. I've met Palestinians who once fought for the PLO, now working alongside Israelis distributing bread in the West Bank, because they've all become Christians. Once they were implacable enemies who hated each other, now they're brothers in the same global family of God, working together in the cause of Christ. Ephesians 2 then pictures what has happened to you, or what will happen to you if you put your trust in Jesus and have him as your saviour and leader. And just see how beautifully it's described in the amazing last few verses. Here's some phrases from 19 to 22. They're now fellow citizens. You've got a passport too, if you like. You're not an illegal immigrant, as somebody put it. You've got a passport stained with the king's blood. You belong. You're a fellow citizen in the kingdom of God if Jesus is your saviour, whatever the differences were in the past. You're part of the family, verse 19. Members of the household of God. Maybe your own family connections in the past have been very difficult and left an ongoing scar or sadness to you. What a wonderful thing when that is replaced by a sense of being in the family of God. Verse 21, join together. Not the Gentiles over there, the non-church backgrounds over there, but join together in the family of God. Verse 22, when it picks up the imagery of a temple. Built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. If some buildings are monochrome, aren't they, in their colour of bricks? These bricks are fairly monochrome, I'd say. Some buildings are much more varied, and you have a sort of reddish brick, and you have a sort of a yellow, beigeish brick, and then maybe a white brick, and it still looks quite nice, but there's a variety of colours in some styles. Well, the church is like that. Varied bricks being built together in the spiritual temple of God. So, this is Ephesians 2. Relationships are huge. Our biggest relationship is our relationship with God, and you can be right with God through Jesus Christ. Relationships with others are important. That sense of belonging, being part of. And if you trust in Christ, you will be part of the family of God. Somebody who is ahead of the game realised that I would be on Ephesians 2 end of this Sunday. Noticed this in their daily Bible notes on Monday, the 23rd of September, and they sent it to me this week. And I thought it was good. I'm going to finish by reading it. Sums it up nicely. No longer a foreigner. You don't belong here. Those words crushed an 8-year-old girl's heart, and the pain stayed with her. Her family had emigrated from a refugee camp in a war-torn country to a new country, and her immigration card had the word alien stamped on it. She felt like she didn't belong. As an adult, although she put her faith in Jesus, she still felt alienated, stung by the feeling that she was an unwelcome outsider. While reading her Bible, she discovered the promises of Ephesians 2 In verse 12, she saw that old troubling word alien. You were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But as she kept reading, she saw how Christ's sacrifice had changed her status. She got to verse 19, which told her, "You are no longer a foreigner or alien." She was a fellow citizen with God's people. Realizing that she was a citizen of heaven, she was overjoyed. Never again would she be an outsider. God had taken her in and accepted her. Because of our sin, we're alienated from God. But we don't have to stay that way. Jesus brought peace to all who were afar away, making all who trust in him fellow citizens of his eternal kingdom, united as the body of Christ. Sums it up well, doesn't it? Let's sing our last song, which is a song about this horizontal sense of unity, of the blessing of being part of God's family. Oh, how good it is when the family of God dwells together in spirit, in faith, and unity. We thank you for this wonderful theme of restored relationship with you and restored relationship with others, for the Trinitas sense of belonging that there comes through knowing Christ and being in his family. We pray that the word we've looked at this morning may be really helpful and encouraging to many of us here. Amen.